The council will please come to order. Carla, how are you?
I am fine. Thank you.
The mayor is traveling. Commissioner Saltzman's out today, so you're stuck with the three of us. Could you please do the council
roll call?
Roll call.
Saltzman, Leonard.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Adams.
Quorum is present. Commissioner Leonard has an important proclamation.
Thank you. We want to recognize the Junior League of Portland, and we have a proclamation that does so, and it's signed by the mayor, and in his absence, I will read it. Whereas the Junior League of Portland has been organized since 1910 and has made significant contributions to the Portland community in the fields of welfare, community arts, education, community planning, historical preservation, and early childhood development, and whereas the Junior League of Portland has been very generous in its support of many community agencies over the last 100 years, and whereas the Junior League of Portland has partnered with numerous community agencies in effort to effectively coordinate its work and avoid duplication of effort, and whereas the Junior League of Portland has established unique programs to meet the needs of Portland citizens and has trained and empowered its members to become civic leaders in every capacity, and whereas the Junior League of Portland, on the occasion of its 100th year of service, has rededicated itself to serving the community and training its members, and whereas October 15th is the birthday of Gretchen Corbett, founder of the Junior League of Portland, and whereas the City of Portland and its citizens are grateful for the generous contributions of the Junior League of Portland, and now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim October 15th, 2010, to be Junior League of Portland Day. Thank you. Do we have anybody from the Junior League that wants to say anything? Come on forward. Pull up a chair.
If you could just give us your name, and you don't need to give us your address.
Thank you. My name is Valerie Thompson, and I'm the current Junior League president. And I have behind me a few of our sustaining members and also some active board members who are thrilled that they could join us this morning. And as you read, the Junior League, as a larger organization, has two purposes, one which is training women to be civic leaders in their community, and the other which is to impact our community. Each Junior League has its own individual focus, and the Junior League of Portland works to make improvements in the area of early childhood development. So we currently have programs that are one-off volunteer events and also two programs that focus on literacy and family bonding. So we are thrilled to receive the proclamation for our Founders Day, and also in representation of the fact that it's our 100th anniversary, and we are hosting the American Junior League International Fall Leadership Conference. So in Portland this weekend, we will have about 400 delegates from four countries, all different junior leagues. So if you're interested in more information, our website is thejuniorleagueofportland.org. Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you.
Thank you for honoring us today with your presence. Because of the absence of two council members, we will not be taking up emergency ordinances today. We will not be taking up a consent agenda. And there is apparently, Carla, no public testimony.
Correct.
So with that, we will move to a 9:30 time certain. Would you please read Council Item 1271?
Authorize the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management in cooperation with the Portland Development Commission and the Bureau of Technology Services to develop a citywide broadband strategic plan and report back to Council by June 30, 2011.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, President Fish. Today is One Web Day, a day to celebrate the many positive changes and impacts that the Internet has had on our daily lives. For the last 3 years, One Web Day has attracted a global network of partner organizations and individual activists committed to broadening public awareness of Internet and web issues while deepening a culture of participation in building a web that works for everyone. So it's very fitting that we're hearing this resolution today. Portland has been a leader in broadband issues for many years, from the Council's unanimous support of open access for broadband in the 1990s, our consistent endorsement of net neutrality and competitive choice, our ongoing efforts to bring broadband services to our community and make those services affordable for all. The Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission's recent technology ascertainment report underlines the need for the city to develop its own strategic broadband plan. The city is already including broadband development in other planning efforts across multiple bureaus and portfolios. Indeed, many members of this council have had a hand in supporting these efforts through both directly and working with the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management, as well as other bureau planning efforts. And I particularly thank Brendan Finn in Commissioner Saltzman's office and Skip Newberry in the mayor's office, as well as Tim Crail in mine, for their partnership on this. It's very fun to be working together. I'm happy to bring this resolution forward today, and I hope for council support. We have citizens here to testify, so I will turn it over to the Director of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management, David Olson, and Deputy Director Mary Beth Henry, to give us a little more background on the importance of this resolution.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz and council members. I'm David Olson, Director of the Office of Cable and Franchise Management. And we're not seated in the order in which we're going to speak, but I'll say a couple of words. Then Mary Beth Henry, Deputy Director of the Office, Brendan Finn on behalf of Commissioner Saltzman, and then Skip Newberry on behalf of Mayor Adams. We appreciate the council taking up this resolution. We appreciate your leadership, Commissioner Fritz, and I believe every current member of the council, except perhaps Commissioner Fish, has been personally involved in this over the years in the sense of the council informals that we have conducted, the broadband planning we have done, and the efforts we have made to make sure this vital infrastructure is launched and up to date in Portland, and we've done that against considerable odds. It is a very difficult market, and yet the need for planning doesn't cease. These are the roads, bridges, and highways of the 21st century, and they need to be made accessible to all. And everyone has understood that. We particularly appreciate the way in which the council has been unanimously supportive of these efforts over the years, and the way in which all council members have worked tirelessly on these issues when we've been in their portfolios or not. We truly appreciate it. Recently, both the federal and state governments have awakened to what Portland has been talking about for a number of years, and the federal government has launched both funding and planning the National Broadband Plan. Even the state of Oregon has awakened to this and has launched the Oregon Broadband Advisory Council. And my next task, rather than go over all of these things, is to reintroduce to you our longtime Deputy Director, Mary Beth Henry, who we are all honored has been appointed to the Oregon Broadband Advisory Council and helps us bring the state piece and connect us to the federal piece as well. So with that, I want to turn it over to Mary Beth.
Thank you, David. I'm Mary Beth Henry with the Cable Office. We're here today because the future will be built on broadband. We're here because the quality of Portland's information and communications technology will define our economic future. We are here because in order to continue to be a great place to live and work, we must set clear goals and strive for greatness. Broadband is an essential part of any vision for Portland. Earlier this week, the UN issued a report declaring that the future actually will be built on broadband. Our job is to make sure that Portland has the kind of broadband that is future-proof and that is available at affordable rates to all Portlanders. The National Broadband Plan calls for 100 megabit symmetrical service in order to be competitive with the rest of the world. In Portland, I have 15 megabit download and 8 megabit upload speed for which I pay a premium. There's heightened interest in broadband right now because many people recognize its importance in all aspects of our daily life. On behalf of the Oregon Broadband Council, One Economy is conducting 20 broadband town hall meetings across Oregon. Portland's broadband town hall will be next Tuesday, September 28th, in the Portland Building at 6:30. The purpose of the town halls is to gather information from citizens on their satisfaction with broadband speeds, pricing, and availability. In the face of the challenges ahead, I'm reminded of the words of the great American philosopher that we all know and love, Yogi Berra. If you don't know where you are going, you are probably not going to get there. Our goal is ubiquitous, ultra-high-speed, affordable broadband. Now we need to work together to craft a plan to get us there. Thank you.
Thank you. Skip?
Well, good morning, commissioners. Thank you for having me. Brendan Finn, Chief of Staff to Portland City Commissioner Dan Saltzman. I'd like to thank Commissioner Fritz for bringing this forward and your continued leadership on this issue. I'd like to signal my commissioners and our office's enthusiastic support for the adoption of this resolution. I'll be quite brief, as this group has been before you in the past, demonstrating the economic development benefits of enhanced broadband technologies. We've also correlated that to our citywide initiatives around climate change, public safety, and education. Where we've been challenged is in creating a coordinated role as a municipal government and how we take advantage and create a competitive advantage for our city. We also have identified a need in assessing our own broadband assets and how we might use those to be more efficient as a government and how we might use those to provide more services to our citizens. It's a worthy effort. I look forward to working with the talented group that you're going to hear from shortly and urge your adoption of this resolution. Thanks.
Thank you, Brendan. Skip, welcome.
Thank you. Skip Newberry with the Mayor's Economic Development Team, and I also would like to thank Commissioner Fritz for her leadership on this project and also the Cable of Office and Franchise Management as well for their work. This is an important first step in our efforts to improve Portland's technology infrastructure and enhance Portland's reputation as a hub for innovation. The creation of a citywide broadband strategy is consistent with the Portland Plan, which includes, as one of its goals, increased access to online information, to business opportunities, and also to educational opportunities as well. The creation of a citywide broadband plan is also consistent with the city's economic development strategy, with its focus on business vitality and job creation. In particular, high-speed access to internet and web-based services can enable Portland's small traded sector industries to compete with much larger companies and reach new markets in a cost-effective manner. We have tremendous assets in the form of innovative businesses and individuals as well who consistently think outside the box. We also have a number of technology infrastructure projects that are underway throughout the city and various bureaus. In a coordinated way, these assets will enable us to maintain our competitive advantage as a hub for technology and innovation. And for these reasons, we enthusiastically support this resolution.
Thank you, Skip. Before we go to any council questions, Commissioner Fritz, do you have a substitute you wish to move?
I would like to move the substitute, which emphasizes the economic development and job creation that Skip mentioned, and also the education and equity and access that Brendan was talking about.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. This is the substitute. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. Council discussion. If I may, I have a question, and I don't know who this appropriately goes to, but there's been some reporting recently about the experience of other cities negotiating deals, and included in some cities, they've been able to get pretty significant public benefits like free Wi-Fi and other kinds of amenities. Is part of the strategy looking forward to those kinds of enhancements that we can negotiate as part of a comprehensive deal?
Commissioner and council members, let me take a stab at that. Yes, I think you will see the city attempt in every way to leverage the assets we have, both direct and indirect, in order to enhance or to develop where we need to go. We are in negotiations with our incumbent cable television provider, Comcast, that provides service throughout the city and regionally. And we are in discussions about ways in which that franchise renewal can support this planning effort and help facilitate the efforts we need to make. You will have before you in some weeks the transfer from the transfer of ownership from Qwest to CenturyLink, the new phone company. We think there's some a higher level of resources and some considerable interest in that company in getting into broadband, which they know is the future of the telephone industry in addition to their traditional service lines. We also have assets in franchise dealings with a number of telecommunications companies in the city, and as this council knows, we have not been shy about attempting to utilize those to maximize the effort to roll out community networks. We also think Portland is a great place to make an investment in a broadband system, as we have told Google and we'll tell them again, and we will keep telling them.
We may have some property down by the train station that they could develop if they wanted a global headquarters.
Commissioner, indeed. So although we are not a city that has a municipal electric utility, a number of these city projects in the country have developed from an existing electric utility, such as city-owned electric utilities, such as Tacoma. Nevertheless, the energy, the creativity, the work of the interest of the citizens and the unanimous support of the council has gotten a tremendous amount of things done, and we look forward to knitting this together, as Skip and Brandon have emphasized, across portfolios and bringing you some concrete planning recommendations to synergize all these within the year.
Thank you. Other council questions? Commissioner, do we have another panel, or we go right to citizens?
We have panels of citizens.
Okay. Well, if you want, I'll follow your lead.
I think that they're actually all organized, and if you'd please come forward in threes or fours, that would be helpful. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. I'm Joe Zender with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and just here to express the Bureau's support for the resolution. In our work on the Portland plan, the importance of high-speed internet has come up repeatedly, and the draft plan has set objectives that are very consistent with and actually call for the work that the broadband strategy would pursue. The interests are in terms of equity, of access to households, and the importance of that for economic opportunity for both households and businesses, the potential for improvement of government services through having broadband access, and also the continued opportunity for telecommuting and sort of taking some of the load off of our transportation system through a strong internet access system. So we express support for the resolution.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chief?
I'm John Knorr, Operations Chief for Portland Fire and Rescue. Portland Fire and Rescue appreciates the opportunity to be involved in the broadband planning process. We recognize the need to develop a broadband strategy for the city and the ability to coordinate that with the public safety broadband strategy and so that they can dovetail together. So we appreciate the opportunity to be involved.
Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Commissioners. Gerald Bodd, Portland Development Commission. As was mentioned earlier, with the economic development strategy and the work that we are doing in and around developing that strategy and implementing that strategy, job creation being a very critical part of that. I am working with the software industry and growing that industry, taking a look at how we can be of further assistance to it. One of the things that's coming up time and again is the fiber infrastructure that's available for small and emerging businesses, particularly software companies, to grow their business, to take that innovation that is, we're finding that is very much Portland, and make it something where we compete on a worldwide basis. We had the opportunity recently to watch a company called ShopIgniter. They were a 4 or 5 person operation who back in early April got $3 million of venture capital funding from Madrona Capital out of Seattle. They were housed on the Central East Side. They had a need to go find different space. The need for space meant that they were also hiring new people. So a wonderful situation for us to work with and to deal with. They ended up locating in the General Auto Building in the North Park blocks. When they got there, one of their requirements for moving in was the access to high-speed fiber. At the time, high-speed fiber was not available to that particular building. We were able to make a call, get in touch with Comcast, who the company wanted as the provider. They wired the building, made it happen, and ShopIgniter moved in. Since then, three other companies, software companies, have located in the facility, and as of last week, another one has located in the facility. We are starting to get critical mass around software in the Portland area. within about the last 8 or 9 months, we've seen some $50 million of venture capital funding come to the city of Portland through software companies located in the city of Portland. Prior to that, when that amount of money showed up, companies would have moved to where the money came from, be it Seattle and or the Bay Area. All of these companies are remaining in Portland and growing jobs in Portland, and fiber infrastructure is very critical for all of this. We're in the midst of right now developing a strategy for two of our urban renewal areas, the River District and the Central East Side. And in the midst of doing that, we're looking at trying to have fiber as one of the backbones to that strategy. And we're looking at the ability to have very high-speed fiber available for companies, and we want to be in a position where shortly we can go back and say to people, if you are a software company and you're growing in this area and you want to locate somewhere either in the Central East Side or in the River District, we've got broadband access. That's the goal. To you, I would say, develop the plan. Once developed, implement the plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Do we have another panel?
Yes, we do. We're just going to citizen testimony at this point. Thank you.
Carla?
We have 6 people signed up, and first 3, please come on up, are Matt Nees, Ward Cunningham, and Dan Westlight.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Why don't we start with you, sir? You'll each have up to 3 minutes, and all you have to do is give us your name for the record. Welcome.
Thank you. Matt Nees, President of the Software Association of Oregon. I'm here to testify on behalf of this proposal. I believe that Gerald made it very clear. The example that he put with the General Auto Building and the technology companies that were housed there came up against a wall in terms of they're reliant on connectivity. And the very first question I'd pose to the council members as well as to the audience is, how many of you have broadband at home today? How many of you would like to go back to dial-up at home today? So that's a real easy question to say, no way, I would never want to do that. But in the case of innovation and technology development, this is core to the ability to develop something of worthwhile and get it out to the masses. Having access to the web is one thing. Having access to rich media, integrated websites, and products and services that are delivered via the web is critical to any business development today. And in order for a business, one, to locate, in order for a business to grow, they've got to have the access and they've got to have space to do it in. So obviously, backing this fiber plan is critical to our entire industry here, not just in Portland, but within the state as well. But I fully recommend that we back this and support it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Ward Cunningham, and I'm a longtime resident and local innovator. I'd like to talk about, I spoke to you recently by video about my experience creating Wiki and ultimately Wikipedia. That was 15 years ago I started that work, and it was a different world. The message I had then was that I did it because I could. A door was open for me as the internet was just starting, and I went through it and found myself in kind of a space where it was easy to work. That was a case of technology enabling creativity. Right now I want to talk to you about speed reading. I've become a speed reader, and by that I mean I can read the product of 15 years of Wikipedia, and I can read it at, well, one number, excess of 100 megabits per second. That is the kind of speeds we're talking about, and I can read it with comprehension. I do that by writing software to do the reading. I think of it as kind of like a prosthetic, just like these glasses help me read. The software helps me read. I'm in complete control of the reading while it's reading. I read Wikipedia or any other data source like that cover to cover. Not that it has covers, but all the time I'm guiding how it reads. And this is stuff that I can build out of components that I just pull down over the internet. I believe that the data to be able to consume that is going to be the future of innovation in software. I can't say how much my attitude about information has changed by this past 15 years in watching Wikipedia grow and seeing what's going to be required. I also want to mention I do all of this with off-the-shelf components on just a laptop, and the limiting factor is actually bringing the data here. So with that, I support the plan.
Wikipedia started in Portland.
That's right.
Very impressive. Thank you.
Glad you're here.
Sir.
Don Westlight, Manager Network Architecture and Engineering, OHSU, and the Director of the Northwest Access Exchange, Portland's Internet Exchange Point. OHSU supports the City of Portland in the desire for a useful broadband strategic plan. This is important for several reasons. Telecommunications infrastructure and services are increasingly essential to creating and retaining jobs. City government will be better able to carry out its missions, and this will enable various governmental organizations to work together more effectively, cutting overall costs and improving capability. Economic development efforts can be improved with broader partnership and participation, magnifying the effectiveness and usefulness of the initial investment. In addition, economic development efforts can better build on previous infrastructure, improving the reach and reducing the cost. And lastly, the challenges will be the same. Planning means we'll be more likely to succeed. When we consider the need for multiple partnerships and sources of funding, large infrastructure efforts tend to take multiple years each, with a decade needed to make progress on any particular strategy. This timescale is longer than the tenure of most elected officials and many employees. Portland residents and Oregonians as a whole deserve the best platform for future economic viability that we can arrange. In addition to creating and sustaining job opportunity for residents, a sound plan will provide the city government with good quality service, and development efforts will have the resources that a coherent regional long-term planning effort can provide. We'll get more for our money. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Go ahead.
Next three are Vince Porter, Rich Bader, and Sheldon Renan.
Good morning, gentlemen. Same routine. Why don't we start with you, sir? I would just need your name, and you have up to 3 minutes, and welcome.
My name is Sheldon Renan. I'm with the Gigabit Grove project here in Portland. Commissioner Fitz, Commissioner Fish, and Commissioner Leonard, thank you for this opportunity to contribute to this discussion about finding the best way to provision the City of Portland and the people of Portland with the kind of network that is critical to keeping our communities, businesses, institutions competitive and sustainable. Healthcare, education, public safety, economic opportunity, jobs. Those are the big problems here. Every single one of them is a problem. Each of you commissioners is responsible for a section of that. And all depend on getting the kind of connectivity infrastructure that this city needs. And that means rich connectivity that's available to all of Portland. Every day, more things are getting connected in more ways. That is an indisputable fact. You observe it, we know it. We need to assure that the way things are connected is the way Portland needs them connected. And I think that means open and community networks, research networks that are combined with community networks, but most important of all, networks that build social capital. Those four things, healthcare, education, public safety, and economic opportunity, cannot be solved by tax dollars solely. They can't be solved by government solely. The new way you solve these things, and the only way we're going to get it done, is with social capital. And this city is a center, is probably the most important place for innovating social capital. Ward created the wiki, and the wiki enabled social capital in a way that we've never seen before. And the result is Wikipedia, as one example, but there are thousands more around the world. A friend of mine runs the P2P Foundation, And he told me that the Pacific Northwest is where most of the key thinkers in this area are. There are at least 30 major thinkers in the Northwest. And Portland, of course, is prime among that because of the wiki. I just would like to finish by quoting from that report that was delivered at the UN this week. Affordable, ubiquitous broadband networks are as critical to social and economic prosperity as networks like transport, water, and power. And they need to be designed to address public critical infrastructure first before things like entertainment. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Welcome.
Morning, Commissioners. Rich Bader, President and CEO of Easy Street Online Services. Coincidentally, we are the internet service provider to the City of Portland. Thank you for being a customer. I hope you're pleased with our service. I'm also a member of the Broadband Advisory Council, the State of Oregon. You've heard so much about the impact that broadband has on our lives. One slice that I can provide for you as well from Easy Street's perspective, we serve primarily business customers and large institutions. You have heard about cloud computing. It is one of the latest technological trends that is causing more and more of your computing services to be provided by data centers, many of which are being constructed in the metropolitan area. All of our business customers are looking at cloud computing as a way to make themselves more efficient, increase their capacity, take advantage of the latest trends in technology with smaller, reduced investments. In order to use this cloud computing infrastructure requires the ubiquitous availability of high-speed and affordable connectivity. I can tell you it is one of the biggest impediments to growth of my business. While many software companies have the support of the Portland Development Commission and the ability to relocate themselves to find this kind of connectivity, many established businesses don't have the luxury of being able to do that. It's very difficult in order to get this stuff provisioned. It's oftentimes expensive, and it impedes the progress. So the private sector, while it is the primary funder and deployer of these services alone, is not able to, I think, take care of the public's interest. And that is where I depend upon this resolution, the Office of Cable Management, in order to put together a more cohesive public policy to make sure that all interests are adequately represented. And I support this resolution and encourage you to do so as well. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Welcome.
Morning, City Commissioners. My name is Vince Porter, and I'm the Executive Director of the Governor's Office of Film and Television. Thank you for giving me the time to speak before you on this very important issue. Traditionally, infrastructure investment and development within the film and television industry has always revolved around building big, giant buildings and sound stages and television facilities as well. The availability of those big open spaces have been key in targeting motion picture industry for many states as well as many provinces in Canada. While it is still the case that that is important to bring large budget projects to your city and state, we're now seeing a new trend, and within the industry may cause everyone to rethink how best to invest in infrastructure. As the motion picture industry morphs more and more into a software industry, one thing is becoming clear. Infrastructure investments in high-end broadband technology will lead the way towards economic growth within the industry. In the next 5 to 10 years, the capacity to move data in a secure and efficient manner will be crucial for recruiting film or television projects to our state. One example recently that most people are familiar with is bringing leverage to the City of Portland, and we've had a great partnership with Dean Devlin and Electric Entertainment, and I might be letting the cat out of the bag in that we're in final negotiations with them for a second project to Portland that we hope to formally announce very soon. What's exciting about it is that with a second project from them, we're beginning to have the conversation of a permanent place for their company here in the city. And I think in order to secure permanency in companies like Electric Entertainment and others, we will need to be able to provide them a data network that they can use for their business practices. I also believe an advanced data network will also allow us to be integral players in the developing digital media industry. We still don't know what forms of content we'll be watching on our iPads or other mobile devices, but we do know that everyone is trying to figure out this task and capture that market. With Portland's rich software industry and incredibly talented creative community, I believe we can lead the way and produce innovative and compelling stories, bringing jobs and small business development to Portland and all of Oregon. For these reasons, I'm here to applaud all the effort and enthusiasm behind this resolution, and I urge your vote in favor of pursuing this essential investment for our economic future. Thank you.
Vince, I just have one question for you, since you mentioned Leverage. We're obviously very proud that Leverage films here, even though to the rest of the country they're told we're Boston, not Portland. Yeah. But we're delighted they're here, and the case has been made that it is a huge boost to our local economy. A second show would be great. So would if someone built a sound studio and we continue to build the brand. But I understand that to continue to have that success, the next governor is going to have to be supportive of some programs which allow us to be competitive. And the key is the tax credit?
Yeah, our incentive programs are key in the overall development of the industry. Currently, there are 40 states with some formative incentive program. Luckily, we have not been required to go as aggressive in terms of the amount of money we offer and still land key projects. But all of those programs will be up for review within the state legislature next session, and we'll be strongly advocating for renewal of that.
And what we've heard from the production teams is they're getting strong pitches from other states that are aggressively trying to bring the film industry to their shores. And so at a certain level, we at least have to be competitive to make sure we keep that business.
We have to be in the conversation for sure. What we try to do our best at is I was quoted saying that the goal is to give as little of an incentive as possible to get the most amount of work. But there still has to be something there. There's only one place in the United States currently, and I don't mean to hijack this hearing, but there's one place in the United States that doesn't have a program like that, that still gets work, and it's Las Vegas, Nevada. And we could build the Las Vegas Strip somewhere in Oregon and bring that type of television and film production to our state, but it's unlikely.
Thank you.
I'd like to remind Commissioner Fish that but for the flip of a coin, we would have been called Boston.
I thought he was going to mention that he alone among the council members had been offered a leading role in Leverage, but modesty prevented him from disclosing that.
You know, if leading is the most accurate term, a thug driver of a getaway car was what I was offered.
I am happy to say that the next project that they're planning to bring here, they've rewritten from, originally it was scripted for Washington, D.C., and it will be in Portland, Oregon.
Fantastic. Thank you. Commissioner Fritz, do we have another panel?
No.
Any more citizens, Carla?
That's all who signed up.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much for your testimony. Council discussion. Carla, let's call the roll.
Leonard?
It is clear from the testimony that we've heard here today that there is a intersection in 2010 that we're working hard to improve on of public safety, planning, and economic development with the infrastructure needed to instantly communicate faster throughout the world. So the goal, of course, is to improve the protection we provide citizens, to attract and retain the kinds of businesses here that reflect the values of Portlanders, and last but not least, provide excellent family wage jobs. So I appreciate the work of Commissioner Fritz and all those that have helped her bring this resolution to this point. Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard and Commissioner Fish, for this good discussion. And thank you very much, everybody who took time out of your schedules to come here this morning. Much appreciated. And I learned still more about this. Mary Beth Henry and David Olson in the Cable Office have been leading this work for us for years, and we greatly appreciate all of the city bureaus coming together and deciding that we're going to work together to get this done. And that's essentially what this resolution here does. And again, thanks to Brendan Finn and Skip Newberry and Tim Crail, who are the lead staffers in three of the council offices. So it will give us much-needed momentum in knitting together all of our efforts in this area of technology in a strategic manner.
and it will help us address equity issues as well as business vitality and job creation. There are some Portland residents who continue to face difficulty in getting access to communications technology, and this plan will help address that. And, of course, we need to develop this strategic plan to support our economy. And that was, when I discussed this with the mayor, that was his main concern, was job creation and support of the businesses. And we had some very good examples of that today. So that's very helpful. As the commissioner in charge of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, as well as cable communications, I'm very much aware of some of the challenges within our neighborhoods of providing wireless access and the concerns of some citizens regarding antennas being placed in neighborhoods. So, of course, that will be part of the discussion as we move forward about the wireless versus wired and fiber and how to integrate that. I'll remind again folks who are concerned about wireless potential health impacts to please contact your congresspersons in compliance with in support of the resolution that the council passed last year asking the federal government to take another look at that. But this strategic plan, I think, will go a long way to making sure that we have a strategy for the whole city for all kinds of services. And will put us in a very good position when we get the plan done for going for grants to implement it. Because I think the point was well made by the gentleman from PDC that we need to have the plan and then we need to implement it. So this is another step on the journey, and I'm very proud to be leading it. Aye.
Fish.
I want to thank everyone for really very stimulating and thoughtful testimony this morning. And we learned a lot. And as I was listening to the testimony, I was reflecting on the fact that when I was a kid, and I had to do a research project, I went to the library and pulled out the encyclopedia. And today my daughter goes online and goes to Google or Wikipedia or whatever and gets information that I only wished I had access to. When my dad, when I was a young kid and my dad ran for office, he put his money into buying billboards along the road. Today people are placing ads on the internet at various websites. So it's truly a revolution. And what you've given us is the prospect of how we can ride this wave and to the great benefit of the public here. And my colleagues have highlighted two things which I think are central. Commissioner Fritz talked about the digital divide, about the number of people that don't have access. And I think that is something we care deeply about. And Commissioner Leonard talked about the enormous potential for jobs and opportunity. And I'm struck by the fact that in the last year, we've had a record number of people who've taken out business licenses. That's also because we've had a record number of people displaced from their jobs and they're trying to chart a new path. But what we often hear is that the new entrepreneurs want, more than anything else, inexpensive space, high-speed broadband access, and a chance to grow their business and pursue their dreams. And it seems that we have a chance to bring to both build on our strengths and address these two issues of the digital divide and prosperity through what you're doing. So thank you. Thanks to the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management. And thanks to Commissioner Fritz. We are very fortunate to have your leadership on this issue, as in many others. And we're very encouraged by this first step. Aye. The resolution is adopted. Thank you all. Carla, we're going to move to the regular agenda. Would you please read Council Item 1272?
Set a hearing date, 10:15 a.m., Wednesday, October 20th, 2010, to vacate a portion of Southwest Hillsdale Court and a portion of Southwest 43rd Avenue, south of Southwest Beaverton-Hillsdale Highway.
Now, do we need a hearing on this, or is this just a council vote? But we're just setting a date. I assume we can just do this.
Unless Linda is here. Is she?
Oh, excuse me. Linda, welcome. Sorry.
Excuse me, Linda Berth, Portland Transportation.
Excuse me, Linda. Excuse me. We should probably wait until Commissioner Leonard gets back till we have a quorum.
Okay. If you could hang up for 1 second. Commissioner Fritz, you were at a DREAM Act rally yesterday.
I was.
Representing the council. We thank you for that.
Do you happen to know what the vote was in the Senate?
I did not hear.
I didn't either. So
that was today.
They were voting on it as we had the press conference yesterday, and since you raised that, I'd just note that there was a young man from Milwaukee who was deported 2 weeks ago to a country that he had never been to. He was born in Mexico but came here when he was a year and a half old, was a standout at Rex Putnam High School in Milwaukee, and then was deported very recently, unable to get a job in Mexico because he can't speak or write Spanish, and didn't graduate from a Mexican high school. So that we actually had him using the cell phone technology. He was able to participate in the press conference from Mexico via somebody's cell phone, and it was very moving.
And the council and both the city council and the county commission both unanimously adopted resolutions of support for the DREAM Act, and you're referring to the vote of the United States Senate, which we think is occurring today, to see whether that legislation will be adopted.
Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Leonard is back, so if you could tell us what you'd like us to do.
Linda Berth, Portland Transportation. This is simply announcing the hearing date for October 20th at 10:15, where a staff presentation and public testimony will be taken.
Fair enough. Commissioner Fritz?
I just noticed this last night that I understand that there is some controversy about this street vacation.
There is.
So procedurally, I'm wondering if we might later want to change the hearing date to an evening hearing so that more citizens could come. Can we approve this now and then change it?
Yes, I believe you can. We could announce it now and formalize it, and then at some point we could turn it to an evening session with an announcement at that 10:15 time. I will certainly check and see if that is something that's necessary. The controversy is pretty limited in scale, and the surrounding property owners that are opposed, we have had day meetings with them, if you will. It's not a lot of outside neighborhood. Opposition.
But as I understand it, we're setting a date, and
yes,
you are going to investigate whether the time can be changed. If
absolutely,
necessary.
If the participants feel that that's necessary.
And I hadn't mentioned this to Mayor Adams, who's in charge of transportation, because as I said, it just occurred to me.
It's okay. I'll check into it.
Thank you. It's a report. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Do you want a motion to accept?
Is there a motion to accept the report?
So moved.
Second. Carla, please call the roll.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
The report
is adopted. Thank you. Carla, would you please read 1273, and it is a second reading.
Grant revocable permit to TriMet to close Northwest Overton Street between Northwest 13th Avenue and Northwest 14th Avenue from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. on October 18, 2010.
And go ahead and call the roll.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye. Carla, would you please read Council Item 1274?
Create a local improvement district to construct sidewalk and stormwater improvements in the Southwest Water Avenue and Yamhill Street Local Improvement District.
This is a second reading. Please call the roll.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thanks again to Andrew Abbey for his excellent work on this. Aye.
Fish.
Aye. The matter is approved. Would you please read Council Item 1275?
Accept bid of Elcon Corporation for the South Auditorium Lighting Phase 1 project for $4,382,700.
Christine, welcome.
Good morning. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. In front of you is the Chief Procurement Officer report recommending a contract award to the low bidder in the amount of $4,941,528.90. The Bureau of Transportation entered into an intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Department of Transportation to provide funding for this project as part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. The city's Good Faith Efforts program does not apply to this project as ODOT requires contractors to comply with the federal DBE program. The DBE goal for this project was 7%, and Elcon Corporation has DBE subcontracting participation at 7.16%. I'll turn this back over to Council if you have any questions.
Christine, I have one question. Does this portion of South Auditorium District include the Halpern Fountains and the plazas?
Lisa Elbert is the project manager, and I'll have her come up and speak to that.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
You can just state your name.
My name's Lisa Elbert. I'm the project manager for South Auditorium, and yes, it does include the fountain areas.
And so, and I'm sure this has already been considered, but there's a pending application for historic designation of the area. So does any portion of the work involve changing the existing configuration of lighting?
The city actually worked through a very public process with the neighborhood, and that was one of the items that was brought to our attention was the potential to do a historic listing on the neighborhood. The neighborhood actually was very specific in their guidance to us that they wanted to opt for fixtures that were as true to the original design as reasonably possible. And the new fixtures are very, very similar. The original fixtures are no longer manufactured, but the new fixtures preserve much of the same look.
I'm going to support this report, but I'm also going to ask that we do a follow-up meeting because there's some folks that are leading the effort for a conservancy there, and I want to make sure that what we're proposing is consistent with what they're doing on the historic preservation side.
Yeah, the Conservancy actually participated with us through a series of, I believe there were 6 or 7 stakeholders advisory committee meetings. We had 2 representatives from the Conservancy that worked very closely with us through that effort, so they are aware of it.
Thank you.
So that, just to be clear, we are accepting an RFP for a contract to do the work. So.
Well, it describes things like tree trimming and light work, and I, in light of a forthcoming meeting that you and I are participating in, Commissioner Leonard, I want to make absolutely certain that this is aligned with the vision for the historic designation.
I'm just pointing out that once you vote for this, the work's probably going to go ahead. You were suggesting that there might be another opportunity, I thought.
Yeah. Is this a time certain bid, Christine?
So what you're voting on today is a report to accept the contract. And once the contract is accepted by council, we would move forward with executing this contract. If there's a change in the scope of the contract, that would need to be worked on with the Bureau of Transportation.
Well, and as Commissioner Leonard is alluding to, I have no reason to believe that the scope of the work has not been vetted and approved by the folks that are proposing to put a lot of private dollars into a conservancy, which would help us maintain this and obtain a historic designation and maintain the site. But since I don't know, I wonder whether, if we set this over a week, does that impede anything that you have planned if we needed the additional week just to make sure that we're aligned?
The only thing that I can think of is this is ERA funded, so there may be a timeline associated with the funding, but I'm not sure.
And I thought the response was you had incorporated all of the concerns that others had, including this conservancy group, into what you're doing. Didn't you say that?
We did. They were an active participant in the selection of the fixtures through the entire project. We did a series of mock-ups. They weighed in on the fixtures, both looking at them in daytime and at nighttime. They provided documentation as far as recommendations as a complete group, not just as the Halpern Conservancy, but the Halpern Conservancy definitely helped guide the neighborhood in the direction of historic preservation.
So I do see that a lot of this are federal funds provided to us, and I'd hate to do anything to cause a hiccup on that.
Next time I'll also, when we have this on the agenda, I'll affirmatively reach out because we're working on a specific project, and I haven't heard from them on this, but you've represented that they were at the table and have helped shape this. So that gives me the comfort to support this. If I find out that there's any glitch later, I'm sure we can revisit this. So thank you very much. Other council questions? Is there a motion to adopt the report?
So move.
Second.
Carla, would you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you both for your work on this. I'll note that it's the bid came in $600,000 less than the estimate, so that is continuing evidence of companies' need to find work. I recently had a conversation on the stimulus dollars, and apparently there's a study that said without it, Portland's unemployment rate would be 15% instead of 10% because we have been able to get so many of the stimulus dollars. So for those who are wondering whether that has come helped us out in the Portland area, I believe it certainly has, and I'm glad that we have public works projects that can keep people employed, put people employed. I also want to note that I asked why we were doing why this money, nearly $5 million, went to an area downtown rather than, say, Foster Road, where the mayor and I recently had a town hall, and the lights there are also in very bad shape. And the answer that's in the record says that these streetlights are 40 years old, that they're basically unmaintainable because they're failing so often. So this has been in the works for several years and is one of those ready-to-go projects that when we were able to apply for the stimulus dollars that we were could put this on the table and get the money for this specific project. So thank you for your good work. It's unfortunate that we do have a lot of ready-to-go projects just waiting for funding, but I'm very grateful for the stimulus money that we're able to fund this one. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you both for the presentation and the responsiveness. Aye. The report is adopted. Carla, would you please read Council Item 1276?
Authorize City Fleet to transfer trailer title from city to Clackamas River Water.
This is a second reading. Please call the roll.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. Carla, would you please read 1277?
Authorize City Fleet to purchase replacement dump trucks at $1,190,000.
This is a second reading. Would you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. Carla, would you please read the Council Item 1278?
Approve intergovernmental agreement with the East Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District through their Partners in Conservation Program to develop neighborhood forest management plans.
This is a second reading. Please call the roll.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, this was on consent last week, and obviously we can have a consent agenda this week, and I'm glad that I get the opportunity to commend Commissioner Fish for his leadership in developing the neighborhood forest management plans, and his team, Zeri Santner, David McAllister, and indeed all those at the East Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District. This is another example of Commissioner Fish's leadership in bringing people together and working on issues of forest management that we all care about. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you for your kind words. We're proud of the team effort here. Aye. For those of you at home, we'll have no further council agendas this week, and we are adjourned. Thank you all. Randy,
it takes a village.
You know what?
The last time
90% painless.
The last time I did it, I think we didn't get the reports right. We weren't in sequence on a dollar.
Well, you were 80% there. You're up to 90. So you're
you know what? I'm a learning organization.